All right, church, it's been a great service thus far, amen? Be making your way to Acts chapter 5. Last week, we talked about building a great church. And we talked about having to build a great church, you got to have a great message. It's going to take great faith and great sacrifice. And it's incredible today that we get to see that great sacrifice lived out as we're going to blow out our missions goal in a great, great way. Amen. And not only that, it's going to be great to see Jonathan and Savon declare Jesus as Lord of their life at the end of service. Truly, we are building a great church for God and for His glory. We're going to continue on our study here, and this is Building a Great Church, Part 2. Amen? We love sequels. Are you with me? And so, the first thing we're going to talk, we're going to get into it here in Acts chapter 5 and verse 1. And right before this, we know that as we closed out our study last week, that the hearts of the disciples of the church, they were all one in heart and mind, and they were giving their land and their houses and selling and putting that money at the apostles' feet to continue God's church moving around the world. And so there was a great spirit and excitement in the church. And we pick up this moment of a couple who does the same exact thing in verse 1. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of land. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept some for yourself? The money that you received from the land, didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What makes you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young man came forward, wrapped up his body, carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. But Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Well, yes, she said, that is the price. Then Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. My first point in part 2 of building a great church, you gotta have great fear. I mean, think about this moment. I mean, it's exciting. Everybody's giving, right? Everybody's giving, and it's great. And Ananias is fired, like, wow, people are selling lands and houses? Man, I want to do that too. Let's do that, honey. Let's do that. Yeah. And they do it. I mean, what an account. I mean, they sold their property. I mean, that's awesome. That's amazing. I mean, think about that, right? And yet, they decided to band together and to lie about the amount. And they did something that I like to call like a sin pact. You know, you got like a sin buddy. Wow. Hey, so you don't, hey, we're going to get into sin, so you don't tell and I won't tell. We cool? All right. Yeah. Deal, right? So you make kind of like a little sin pact right there, right? And that's exactly what they did. And you got to imagine they go in and Peter, not really knowing, but sensing something's a little off. Like, sold the property. I mean, that's cool. Like, so is that all the money that you got? Yeah, sure is. Whoa. And the Holy Spirit's like, what made you think of just lying right now? But you didn't lie to me. You lied to God. Right. And he falls down and dies. And here's the thing. Like, we can try to hide what's going on. But man, somehow one or another, I mean, some of us know, like, God's just going to expose it right there. Are you with me? Yeah. And that's exactly what happens. And then 3 hours later, wife not knowing what's going on, thinking that Ananias is off doing something, hanging out with his buddies, rolls into Bible talk. Hey, what's up, guys? He was like, hey, so I just got a quick question for you. So you and Ananias, is that all the money you got? Yeah, sure is. Wow, what made you think of lying to the Holy Spirit? And think about this, all right? The two guys, like, they're probably like a couple of interns, right? You know, they just get done, a couple campus interns just got done burying Ananias, right? They're on their way back to the house, right? And just as they get there, and Sapphira just lies, and she dies, they open the door to find there's the wife. Now they got to go bury her. Whoa. Right? Like, wow, that'd been a rough day to be an intern right there. Are you with me? But the Bible says that great fear seized everybody who heard about these events. I mean, imagine the newspaper the next day, the Jerusalem Chronicle. Couple struck down by God because they were greedy.
Oh my gosh.
Right? I mean, imagine that, you know? But the Bible says in Exodus 20:20, and what God was trying to do to get them to understand this, in Exodus 20:20, the Bible says, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." I mean, what a paradox right there, though. Hey, he's like, hey, don't be afraid. But you got to fear God, though, to keep you from sinning.
Yeah.
Like, don't be afraid. But hey, make sure you fear God, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the fear of God will keep you from sinning.
Come on.
The fear of God. And for some of us, that's not what we like to hear. Like, we think that the love of God is what's going to help me from sinning. No, but it's actually the fear of God. Because we're aware of His presence.
Yeah.
We're aware of His holiness. We're aware of His righteousness. And that's what keeps us in the right with Him and making sure that we don't stray from what His Word says. Are you with me?
Yeah. Come on.
And we understand that God is very serious about protecting His church.
Right.
He's very serious about that. And what makes this place safe, I mean, He's not sentimental at all. I mean, here in Ananias, they do something incredible, but they just lie to God.
Right.
They weren't lying to Peter. You know, Peter, like, I'm sure, like, see, they weren't lying to him, but they just lied to God. And he noticed that he wasn't sentimental about it, and he struck them down and actually set an example for everybody. Like, I bet that everybody got the message real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we don't lie in this church. All right, got it. Cool. Okay, so I'm not going to be deceitful right here. Like, amen. All right, got that one. Thank you. All right, are you with me? And what makes this place safe, what makes God's kingdom safe, what makes the church safe is that we're serious about God's righteousness. Are you with me? That for us, you know, this is a safe place because we're going to deal with sin. Because the Bible talks about it, right? We're not going to skirt around the issue. I mean, that is our conviction. And right here, I mean, they lied, but also they were being greedy. The reality was that if they would have just said, hey, yeah, we got 20 grand for it, but actually we only gave 10, I bet everything would have been cool. Right? We'd totally been cool. Like, hey, we got 50 grand for this puppy. But so we decided to keep 25 for ourselves and give 25 to the church. Fired up. Thank you for the 25 grand. Let's go. Awesome. And there's nothing like being generous and giving back to God. You know, anything about the times we got to be generous, like it just exposes that little greed bone in your heart right there, you know, in your body. You know, somebody, hey, can I get a ride? What? Wait, hold on a second. Wait, you want to ride? Like, where do you got to go? How far do you got to go? What do I got to do? You know, like, you're eating a meal right there. Like, hey, can I have some of that?
Right.
You know, you just got the full burrito right there. Like,
what?
How much you want? Just want a bite. You know, like, and there's just like this greed in us, you know, like, and that's what's being checked. And, you know, and I'm fired up about the church here. You know, it's just so amazing. That the generosity that's been poured out. You know, I sent this text message out from Exodus 36 and how they were rebuilding, that they're going to build this sanctuary for God. And the Israelites brought more than they needed. And to the point where like, hey guys, stop. That's enough.
Right.
And that's what I've seen lived out here. I mean, like, we busted out our missions goal a week before today. Now that is awesome. The other situation here that got exposed was a big problem that Ananias and Sapphira probably had, most likely. They were trying to look good on the outside and trying to appear spiritual. They were more focused on what everyone else thought. They thought, hey, everybody else is selling a property. I mean, that dude, Joseph, I mean, he got his name. He got a cool nickname. What about us? I want to be called the son of encouragement. So, babe, let's sell some property right here. Let's get in this game. Right? Because if we do this, man, you know what? Like, oh gosh, you know, Peter is going to probably post this on Facebook. And, man, we're going to get a lot of likes. And, man, that's going to go around the world. And, man, I could use that right now. Right? And so they're doing things for people and what it would look like to everybody else. Like, whoa, look at Ananias and Sapphira. Holy cow.
Wow.
Right? Man, whoa. You know, in our family of churches, we got what's called the good news email. Like, all the great things that God's doing in all the churches around the world. So they're probably like, man, hey, let's do that. And man, we're going to get lifted up in the good news email and people are going to be talking about us. Man, the next Global Leadership Conference down in L.A. this year, they're going to be talking about us. They're going to throw my story in a lesson.
Oh.
I need this.
Oh.
Right?
Talk about it.
Doing things for people and trying to appear spiritual.
Come on, wow.
But we do things to please God Almighty. Are you with me? Galatians 1 verse 10 says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ.
Wow.
How much we're so focused on what other people think of us.
Yeah.
How much we care of what people think of us. We're so consumed with that all day. We don't realize, like, and all we're doing was just thinking about us.
Right.
The whole time. Like, well, what did they think about me? Do they like me? Does he like me? Does she like me? Why do they say that? What do they mean by that?
Yeah.
And you're just thinking about yourself.
Right.
Why do they want me to go to Bible talk? What is this? Why are they calling me? Why me? Like, whoa. Think about God for a second.
Yeah.
Everything we do, we're doing it for the approval of God.
Right.
Not people. These guys were trying to look good and seem spiritual. But the reality is their heart was so messed up in what was going on the inside. Turn with me over here to James chapter 5. We so want, and many times, the approval of men. Right? You know, they do studies about Facebook doing posts and we care so much when we put this post up. I mean, I know you've done it. You know, and there's just something that's in the mind of a person. I just like to imagine that when they get their phone out and they look at they looked in the mirror, they're like, dang, I look good today. And you know what? Everybody's got to know. Oh, right? And then you're like, looking great today. Bam. All right. And then you just look and you're refreshing the screen. How many likes? Oh, 50. Oh, 60. Oh, 100. I got 200 likes in like 20 minutes. Dang, I'm doing great today. Doing great today. It's in us, and that's what's being pumped. I got nothing against Facebook. I think it's awesome. I think God would use it for his glory. But there's this thing that's in us. We just so want the approval of men, and we're so people-focused and not God-focused. And because of that, many times we don't deal with our heart, and we fear men more than we fear God. Are you with me? In James 5, the Bible says right here, in verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Notice the scripture doesn't say confess your sins to just a priest or the guy that's getting paid to lead the people. No, it says to each other. So you look to your neighbor on your right and you look to your neighbor on your left. That's who you confess your sins to each other. Brother to brother, sister to sister, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me just clear that up right there, amen. All right.
Come on,
we're a church. The way we're building is we're a people that walk in the light.
Yeah.
I super appreciate it. I mean, Ryan up here just being very bold. I mean, that's just what you do with community. You're like, hey, this is where I've been at. This is where I'm learning. This is where it is. And this is why Jesus died for me.
Yeah.
Come on. Right? That's just what we do. And that's what keeps this place safe. And that's what keeps you safe. As you're dealing with the sin that's in your heart.
Yeah. Yep.
And it says, because of that, as we confess it to each other, it says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, I don't know about you, but I want a powerful and effective prayer life. A powerful and effective walk with God. And that comes when we're frightened for righteousness. And we don't fear God, fear people, but fear God. And therefore, we get open with one another and get help. Amen? That's what we do. We got to be real and deal with our hearts. We're not just here. You're not here this morning to just look great and sing a few songs and be fired up and think that, like, okay, I'm here and I look great. Everybody thinks I'm doing awesome. And sometimes you can skate and skirt by, but a lot of times, like, the sin is obvious. That's probably where Peter was like, something up with Ananias. No. I spell a little sin. Is that all the money you got for that property you sold? Just curious. Yeah, it is. Boom. You can tell. I think so. And this is a great message right now, especially as things are slowing down, you know. And I mean, gosh, we're not having men's midweek next week, you know, no campus devotional. And you know, it's just the time of the season, you know. It's just people are traveling, the holidays. I mean, it's awesome.
Yep.
It's the holidays.
Yeah.
They should be holy days.
Yeah.
And what we got to fight is not to make sure that it's a holidays away from our relationship with God. Are you with me? And so this is really a great time. And a time that we really should focus all the more on God as we're celebrating Thanksgiving and celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, right? It is a really time to draw close to God. And I just got to challenge us to be open. If you're wondering why you're not close to people, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10 about walking the light.
Yep.
When we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another.
Yeah.
So we feel distant.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is you're just not truly being open with what's really going on in your heart.
Yeah.
Not really talking about what is in your heart and in your mind.
Come on,
we need to be open about our fears and our doubts. You know, we need to be open about any reservations that we might have.
Right.
Any bitterness, right? And there's a thing we got to understand, like, people don't just, like, wake up one morning and decide they're going to fall away from the Lord. Like,
yeah.
I think I'm leaving the Lord today. No. That doesn't happen. That's not how it happens.
Right.
It happens with little reservations
right.
in your heart.
Yeah.
It happens with little bitter feelings. It happens with things that you're not dealing with, things that you're thinking about, like, man, I don't know about this. She said this. He said this. I'm not fired up about that plan. And you don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And so it builds over time, week after week. Month after month, till something happens, and then one day you send a little text message, or someday you don't even show up to church. I'm like, man, where did Tyler go?
Come on.
And I never hear from Tyler again. But come to find out that Tyler has been bitter this whole entire time. Tyler's not bitter right now. Maybe he'll be bitter after I'm done with this point. I don't know. But that's how it is. We got this stuff that's in us, and we got to have relationships that are real and honest with one another. Like, man, I don't know about this. Hey, sis. Hey, bro. I need help with this.
Right.
I'm struggling with this. Can you give me some scripture so I can deal with this?
Yeah.
Because I want to be righteous.
Right.
I want to do what's right, but I'm having a hard time right now.
Right.
That's the kind of church that we want to build for God's glory. That's the church that they built in the first century, and that's what's needed in the 21st century. Are you with me? Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. The one who is willing to look the worst grows the most. The one who is willing to look the worst grows the most. You're just willing to get real and gut level open. Like, man, this is who I am. Can you please help me? That's why I'm still here after 15 years of becoming a Christian. It's the power of discipleship. And I think the men that have been in my life that have challenged me and have helped out my heart, that have helped me out when I was a single guy, you know, tempted by the world, that have helped me out in my marriage, and I know my wife is grateful for that too. Amen. And I know now my 5-year-old daughter is going to be grateful that I'm a great dad. Amen. And the future kids we have after that, or kid. I put it out there. Just pray. But hidden sin, my brothers and sisters, will stop the church. Think of Achan and Joshua.
Yep.
Hidden sin. They went out to battle to fight. They think they had it. They didn't get the victory. It wasn't until they dealt with this sin that they were able to forcefully advance and win the land for God.
Okay.
You know, finishing up this point, Sapphira means beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And Ananias means the God is gracious.
Wow.
They forgot their namesake. And it's a beautiful thing when we are honest and willing to deal with the ugliness of our hearts. And it is in those moments we truly see how gracious God is when we are honest. God is serious about protecting His church. And He is gracious. We fight to keep it beautiful, and we will keep it beautiful as we build this church, living in reverent fear of our Almighty God. Let's do this together. Are you with me? Let's go back to Acts chapter 5. My second point, great boldness. Acts chapter 5. You know, things are going great for the church right here, and it continues to grow, and they're having an impact. Incredible miracles are happening. However, when you start to make an impact, persecution starts to arise. And that's exactly what starts to happen right here. In Acts 5 and verse 17, it says, then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. So, they're making an impact, and here's what happens. It says the high priest, the religious leaders, the members of the party of the Sadducees were jealous. They didn't like what the disciples were doing and the impact that they were having. And because of this jealousy, they said, all right, we're stopping this thing. And so they arrested the apostles and they put them in jail. And they put them in jail, and there they are. And then the Bible says an angel of the Lord comes and sets them free and commissions them to go and preach. Now, I love the Bible. I love God. You got to love the humor of this moment. All right. Who put them in jail? The high priest, but the members of the Sadducees, right? They were sad, you see. And what the Sadducees, what their problem was, is they actually didn't believe in angels. Well, who frees the apostles? An angel. God says, you don't believe in angels? Well, I'm sending an angel down, and I'm setting my men free. Right? Well, that's awesome right there. Like, take that. Right? And they're set free. And he tells them to go take the stand and to preach. And we've got to understand, they weren't set free for their safety and their comfort. They were set free so they could preach the word of God. They were set free for a reason. They knew they weren't always going to be delivered. But they knew, hey, you got to go take your stand in the city and you got to preach this message. And that's exactly what they did. And they did it. And they did it, they know it, knowing that it was going to be at the cost of their very lives.
Wow.
We have been set free, my brothers and sisters, to preach the message of this life at the cost of our very own lives.
Right.
And not for our comfort and our safety. Are you with me?
Yeah.
In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, it says, since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try and persuade men. Later on in that chapter, it talks about us being a new creation. That we're God's ambassadors. That we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. So you're sitting here this morning, and guess what? You might not be getting paid to preach the word. But in God's ministry, you're in the ministry. It says it in 2 Corinthians 5. So welcome to the ministry. You're an ambassador to represent God before mankind. We live in a time where this is lost. Where people should understand that they're set free to take a stand and to preach. But we live in a time right now that no one really does actually want us to take a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We live in a time that people just bury their head in the sand. Hey, let's just be PC. Don't say that in the church because you might hurt somebody's feelings. Don't talk about sin because if you do that, then man, these seats are going to be a lot more empty.
Wow.
And so you got churches and they're preaching a watered down doctrine. Fearful of the people and what they might think. Like, oh no, I just gotta keep everybody together. You know, I can't talk about that sin, I can't talk about that, I can't challenge the church with that sin, because if I do, then oh my gosh, then people will leave and they don't want to follow Jesus.
Wow.
Well, I don't know, my Bible says though, in Luke 14, in the same way, any of you does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple.
Right.
And right before that, Jesus challenged that, hey, anyone who does not hate his mom, his brother, his sisters, his wife, yes, even his own life and his father, cannot be my disciple.
Yeah. Wow. Come on, bro.
And before that, it says large crowds were following Jesus. Mm-hmm. How many probably think walked away after that moment? That was point one. Then point two, he says, hey, and any who is not willing to carry his cross daily can't be my disciple. That was point two. She's like, if you can't handle persecution, sorry, you can't make it.
Oh, man, come on.
Point three was like, you better count this cost because you're going to do this for the rest of your life. So, okay, this is not for like 6 months or just kind of a nice little pleasure cruise. So this is for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
All right, that was a little sub point. And he's like, all right, now here's my last illustration. I'm breaking down a parable on you. There's two kings at war. One has 10, one has 20. You're the one with 10.
Oh, no.
I'm 20. I'm coming back.
Oh, no.
If you don't surrender everything, I'm taking you out.
Oh.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Right? He's like, where do you go? I mean, that's what he preached to him. He wasn't fearful that people were going to walk away. What he's looking for, right? Who's really going to be bold and take a stand for this? I'm doing that. I need you to do that too if we're going to change this world. This is needed. In our time, like, it's sick, it saddens me.
Yeah.
Like, man, oh man, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to call sin out. We don't want to, you know, challenge people where they're at.
Right.
Wow.
This is being pumped into the schools of our kids.
Right.
This is being pumped in the billboards and the songs and all these things. That, hey, everybody's okay. Wake up. Everybody's not okay.
Right. Come on, bro.
It's not a time to be neutral.
That's right.
JFK said the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in a period of moral crisis, maintain their neutrality. There is no such thing as a neutral Christian. We're in a moral crisis, and Satan is working so hard to pump God and His Word out of people's hearts and their minds. No more. As a matter of time as this, for men and women to stand up for His Word and for His righteousness. To risk their very lives.
Yeah.
Man, we live in a country where you're just pumped in pleasure and comfort and safety. It's pumped in the media to get you to live in fear.
Yeah.
But yet, man, there hasn't been a war for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
Oh, but they talk about it, right? And what do you do? They just locked up like, oh my gosh, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
These guys were set free knowing like, man, this could be my last night.
Yeah.
But man, I'm laying it out right now. It is time to preach, my brothers and sisters. It's time to go door to door. It's time to rattle the hearts of the men and women. It's time to be as bold as we're about to see our brothers and sisters right here in verse 27. Are you with me? Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to the quick question by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in His name, he said. Yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching. And you're determined to make us guilty of this man's blood? Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men.
Amen.
And the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging Him on a tree. God exalted Him to His own right hand as Prince and Savior, that He might receive repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death.
Wow.
Dang. Wow.
That's bold.
Come on.
Talk about boldness. They bring Him before the Sanhedrin. They're there before the religious, I mean, the head honchos. And they're like, hey, we told you to be quiet. We told you to stop talking. What's wrong with you? We gave you strict orders. They were strict. I think we even wrote them down. Johnny, didn't we write them down? We showed you. Right? Yet, you failed Jerusalem with your teaching. What's wrong with you? And you want to make us guilty of this man's blood? You know what? And you just a little, you get out there, you just get out there. They forgot that many days before, about a month and a half ago, they said, hey, let His blood be on us and our children.
Wow.
And so Peter and John were just trying to remind them of the ludicrous vow that they made before God.
Right.
You are guilty. You took it upon yourself. I'm just trying to remind you what you said. Just trying to remind you what you said.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you did not just do that, right? I'm like, sorry. We got to obey God rather than men. So just want to let you know, you're lost. What the heck? Talk about boldness. And they filled Jerusalem with their teaching. We came here to plant a church in Sacramento, not because Sacramento needed another church. Well, we came here like we said, man, we've got to restore first century Christianity. We got to restore the gospel message. To call people back to the Bible. And this is what we've been fighting for the past 2 years. To fill all of Sacramento with the Word of God. That knowing the work being done here is going to slingshot all around the world. Are you with me? You know, isn't it exciting to know that right now in our movement, the message is going out now in Hong Kong, China. Does that fire you up? As a movement, we planted 9 churches this past year. We realize, you know, every the past couple of years, like, well, we're not going to plant that many churches. It just seems like, and then the next thing you know, we plant like 8 churches, right? We're talking about not planting that many churches. Let me just know, we're going to plant many churches next year, okay? Amen, right? I mean, this past year, Birmingham, England went out. Monterey, Mexico went out. Cebu, Philippines went out. Rio de Janeiro, Brazil went out. Kiev, Ukraine went out. We planted a church in Guam. Here locally, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Kona, Hawaii. You got to really like struggle for the Lord going to Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Kona, Hawaii right there. Amen. But somebody's got to do it. Are you with me? Somebody's got to do it. Right? You know, and Lord willing, next year, Amsterdam will be planted, New Delhi, and Quito, Ecuador. Vamanos. Let's go. Here domestically, Operation Eagle is being rolled out. We're going to plant Oklahoma City and Albuquerque, New Mexico. Are you with me? Our movement is only 10 years old, and it started with 42 sold-out disciples down in Los Angeles. And now it's given birth to over 5,500 disciples in over 84 churches on all 6 populated continents. That is well over 10,000% growth. God is doing the impossible. Let's finish our text here in verse 34. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin in order that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them. Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared, claiming to be somebody, about 400 men, rallied to him. Well, he was killed and all his followers were dispersed and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in a revolt. He too was killed and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if the purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You'll only be finding yourselves fighting against God. Wow. So they're all ticked off, and they're having this meeting. Well, this Pharisee by the name of Gamaliel stands up, and actually it looks like he's helping the disciples on out. And this guy was incredible. The Bible says that he was well known. Well, he's the grandson of the guy that founded Israel's strongest school of religion. Wow. He also is the very guy that taught the Apostle Paul.
Wow.
And people knew him as our teacher, not a teacher. He was the teacher.
Wow.
And here he stands up and he gives some great insight of the situation. And he actually makes a great case for the disciples. But what stands out right here, that what Gamaliel was actually suggesting was a test of time.
Wow.
He says, guys, there were 2 moments that started, and both of them stopped once both of the guys died. And so, hey, let's just sit here and just watch what happens. And so what he's suggesting is, hey, you know what? No, we're not really going to get involved, but let's just sit on the fence right here and just watch what happens. Because then we're just going to check if this is from man or from God. Because if it's from man, well, you know, it's going to fail. But if it's a God, you're going to find yourselves fighting against God.
Right.
And so here he's just going to see and wait. Let's just see what's really going to happen. And the reality is he didn't need to wait. All he needed was evidence was Jesus' resurrection and the miracle of the apostles.
Yeah.
And Gamaliel doesn't necessarily take a stand. He does what many, I think, want to do today. Just not really get that involved.
Wow.
And just sit on the fence.
Yeah.
Right? Let's just sit there on the fence. And let's just watch this puppy. All right? I mean, sometimes I kind of want our Christianity. Like, okay, I'll have 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Like, I don't really want to just dive full into leadership yet or just try to put myself out there. So I'm just going to kind of see and wait. We'll just see where this puppy goes. And, you know, if it works out for Andre and Cynthia, then maybe I'll lead a Bible study.
Oh.
You know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. You know,
wow.
Like, all right. You know, if Dylan can just keep his wits about him and he doesn't tank out as a young Christian, then maybe too I'll be as fired up as he is.
Wow.
And really just be all in.
And we just wait the test of time. And we're not fully all in. We can even do that about becoming true Christians and coming into God's kingdom. We're just on the fence because we don't really know. And all we need to do is believe God's word. Luke 16, verse 29 says, Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father," he said. "But if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." And he said, "And if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they'll not be convinced if even someone rises from the dead."
Wow.
So all we got to do is just obey the Bible.
Come on.
All we got to do, that's all we need.
Right.
We don't need somebody to rise from the dead.
Yeah.
And maybe this morning, God has been working in your life trying to get you to come into His kingdom and join the fight, the greatest fight ever. And that is against the slavery over this world called sin. And it's time to stop sitting on the fence, but yet build this wall all around the world. What did they do? Verse 40. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin and rejoiced because they've been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. And day after day, in the temple court, from house to house, they never stopped teaching and preaching that Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
What a response.
Yeah.
What great boldness.
Yep.
They get whipped, they get flogged, and they get sent out, but it fires them up.
Yeah.
And they go day after day and from house to house proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ.
Come on.
They never stopped because they knew, like, man, no. We've been set free to preach. We've been set free to proclaim this good news, and everybody's got to hear it. I don't care if I get whipped again. You whip me? Well, that just fueled me even more to go day after day.
That's right.
And to go house to house.
Yep.
I'm knocking on door after door after door. Somebody's open.
Yeah.
And I'm going to find them.
Yeah.
Oh, Satan, you might try to stop me, but you just fueled me some more. And I'm just going to preach harder, and I'm going to pray harder. And I'm not stopping until I breathe my last breath, because the good news that Jesus is the Savior of the world. As I finish up here, you're reminded this morning of two reasons why. Because you're going to see Jonathan up here share his good confession.
Amen.
A life changed through God's word. And then you're going to see another one.
Amen.
As Siobhan shares his good confession. Another life changed through God's word. This is why we do what we do, and this is why they didn't stop. That's why they were very bold.
Right.
To see more lives set free.
Come on.
By Acts 17, the Bible says in verse 6, these are the men who have turned the world upside down. And this is the heart of the church. We are turning Sacramento upside down, and I'm excited to announce this morning that I know this church flat, but leaves it with everything they got, because the goal that we turned in today, we were trying to raise $14,000. It's $14,078, but we didn't turn in $14,000. And we didn't just turn in $15,000. We turned in today for the mission field $18,063, 122% over our goal. The world is being evangelized in our day.
Right.
I want to finish with this poem. Upside down, the world needs changing. Rattle the cages. There's chains that need a breaking. A ragged band of men went out to Jerusalem one day and shouted out in every tongue words he sent them to say. 3,000 souls agreed, and so the work had just begun. And that day of Pentecost was like a starting gun. Only a few weeks earlier, the Lord was crucified. And now on every corner of Jerusalem, the Lord was multiplied. His words scattered to starving souls like seeds on scattered breezes. Now there's not just one to kill. There's 3,000 Jesus. 2,000 years and here we are. A world of waste and screams. But just a ragged band of men can reawaken all the dreams. There's a way to change this planet and to turn everything around. Or a better way to say it, let's just turn the whole thing upside down. Family, let's build this great church in this generation. I love you very much.